So take us back 30 years. What is going through your mind right now?
That I'm older. I'm 35. That happened. Now I'm 65. No, in some ways, these memories just come flashing back, come flooding through you. I mean, Bobby Bowe and Raffy pushing me down the line, me catching my dad's eye up in the box, you know, one of the times when I came out for a curtain call, my kids throwing out the first pitch, you know, showing them that I had the T-shirt on that they gave me, you know, a lot of really cool things. We played really well. I really enjoyed the fact that we weren't just celebrating, showing up and playing a game. It was still about winning the game and excellence in which you play. I played well, and we won that series. So a lot to be proud of.
To get to 2,131 games and then the 500-plus, you kept going for the next 3 years after that. Obviously, it was a day-to-day thing. Now that you've had a chance to look back on it on all this time, are you amazed at yourself? Can you give us some more perspective on just how incredible that was?
Well, I didn't want to think about it when you're doing it. Granted, now that you're out of the game and you've had time to sit down and analyze what happened and how it happened, it does seem a whole lot bigger accomplishment now than it did when I was doing it. That's why I say that, you know, if I can do it, certainly someone else can. It has to be a certain set of circumstances. It's over a long period of time. There's a little bit of luck involved in doing it, but there's a lot of desire to play. And I think physically, the athlete probably can do it now. Mentally is probably the challenge of when you get nicked up a little bit. Can you still compete? Can you still play? Do you feel that you can give something to the team? And I always felt like I could. And I laugh internally a lot of times when some people think that I had control, total control over whether I played or the streak. And I was thinking, well, the managers created this thing called the streak. They kept writing my name in the lineup. I just kept performing. So, you know, I'm granted at some point, maybe it became too big for the manager, but certainly it was created by the managers wanting me to play.
Cal, I've always wondered this. So many of us were watching that night. We were there for the lead up. We were in the news business. Some of us, meeting myself, were in Baltimore. But I often think about, in now, all these years later, 30 years later, what would you say to 35-year-old Cal then?
What would I say to him then?
Mm-hmm. Knowing what you know.
You know, maybe I would think about what my dad's advice always was, and is, you know, you approach the game a certain way. You show up ready to play, and that's the best thing you can do for your team, is that they can count on you. You try to meet the challenge of the day, and then when all that's over, you absorb whatever learning is from that, and you go on to the next day. So it is truly, you know, taking it one game at a time. I remember Dad saying, we can't replay yesterday's game. So, you know, take some education from it, some wisdom from what happened yesterday. And you can't play tomorrow's game until it gets here. So you have to play, you might as well play this game today. And I think that single-minded approach, you know, allowed the games to add up. And after the record was broken, the 2,131 games, I didn't want to change that approach. I thought it was the right approach. And so it just happened to go on another 500 games. So I thought you would bring more tribute to the authenticity of, you know, wanting to play every day if you just continued that same approach.
Cal, I don't know if you think of yourself this way, but you've become the modern day Joe DiMaggio now. I mean, when Joe DiMaggio was alive, he was considered the greatest player of all time. He was always introduced that. You are perhaps the most beloved figure in baseball. Talk about the connection between you and the fans and that love.
Oh, God, that's a complicated question. Joe D was at that game, 21-31, and I thought it was the coolest thing that there was a link between Lou Gehrig and me. You know, I often wondered, you know, if you ever had a chance to have a conversation with Lou, you know, what would you ask him? And I was thinking, I'd want to know that he approached the game the same way I did, that it wasn't about a streak. You know, I know there were a couple times where he continued to streak by just playing an inning or doing something like that on an injury. But I think for the most part, you know, he played the game because they wanted to be out there, and he was in the middle of the lineup, and the team counted on him to be there. And that's how I think about it. Joe, as far as the fame and all that kind of stuff, you know, that drew a lot of attention, you know, and I think a lot of fans relate to the to concepts of persevering and, you know, getting yourself back up and showing up after things aren't going so well. I've had a lot of people relate their streaks to me in their own lives, and I think that's a really cool thing. So I don't know. I always try to keep things in perspective. I always try to involve the fans in the game, try to bridge the being in the stands to the field. In 21-31, after the strike, was an opportunity to kind of say, you know, I'm sorry, you know, I know the business side showed itself, but, you know, let's all, you know, baseball's a great game. Let's all get back together again. So I don't know. I don't know the popularity. I don't know all those things. I just try to do what I thought was right.
Cal, tomorrow, what an incredible day it is going to be. A packed Camden Yards there where you made the magic happen 30 years ago. What's going to be going through your mind, do you think? And tell us about who's going to be there with you.
Well, I mean, rumor has it that Bobby Bowe and Rafi are there. So I suspect kind of redo the lap without the lap. and a lot of people coming back for it. There's some little surprises that the Orioles have in store to enhance the celebration. I'm looking forward to it. I mean, it's the Dodgers, and the Orioles have a nice young team. And I'm looking forward to the actual game itself. And that creates its own environment, its own atmosphere. But it'll be a little bit like a playoff atmosphere or a combination of playoff and opening day. And the festivities will be pretty cool. I think it'll touch a few emotions, you know, that happened 30 years ago. I know I've been thinking about my mom and dad a lot more lately. And so they always seem to come up when you reflect on the good things in your life. And so I got to be prepared for in case the emotion comes over me. But I'm really looking forward to it. It's I'm not someone that really liked anniversaries or like looking back when I move forward. With age, you kind of realize that you look back on them, and it's not the moment itself. It's the people that you did it with. And so I'm looking forward to that.
Well said. Cal Ripken, thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure. See you guys tomorrow.
We hope. We'll be there in spirit.
At least on TV, we'll see you. All right. Kyle, thank you so much. Cal Ripken, the Hall of Famer. Tomorrow, he celebrates 30 years since breaking Lou Gehrig's unbreakable streak, 2,131 games.